You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Fri-yay. Hit it, buddy. Hit that. You got the applause there.
Fri-yay!
Yeah, I wondered if you were going to remember when I just yelled, hit it, and you just up and got it. I always got to play the explosion for Fri-yay. But hey, Booms, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good. I just had to open the window just for a second, so we're good to go.
Yeah, we got to plan for all the hot air we're about to have in this room.
We got a lot of hot air in here.
There's a lot of hot air on this show, man. Hot topics, hot air. But man, we got a bunch of stuff on tap for you today. So at 3:30 p.m. today, brand new state representative Ernie Yarbrough up from here in North Alabama. He'll be on tap with us talking about his hopes and dreams and aspirations as a newly minted state representative. A lot of folks don't realize in the state legislature in Alabama, when you get elected that night, you take office the night of the election. So basically, he beat one of the incumbents, Prancy Robertson, and he is now in office. And we'll be talking to state representative Ernie Yarbrough at 3:30. And then I got a triple dipper filled up with stuff you're going to care about. So hit it, bud.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, defense is on defense. That's it. Defense is on defense. It's kind of funny. The NDAA passed. I'm going to tell you what all's in it. There's lots of things you're going to care about. All of you in the contracting world, still in the green suits, it doesn't matter what branch of service, and for that matter, if you have family members in the service, you're going to care about what we're going to talk about. What's interesting to me is how many things were passed in the NDAA that were contrary or not asked for by the Department of Defense. Hence the point that I've got on here, the defense is on defense. We'll talk about that in number one of the triple dipper. Number two, here's one of these things. I told Charlene this morning, I do my show prep early, and she came in after she'd gotten up, and she just checked, see, you got them all done? And I said, yeah, but I got one that's kind of unusual. It's like not a theme, but it is a theme. I'm calling it In Other News. So number two on the triple dipper is in other news, because I kept finding stories that were singular. They weren't thematic. I couldn't find broad scope coverage on these things, but the story in itself seemed significant enough to bring up. Some of it's national, some of it's local. All the same, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pull some of these together and just make a whole segment and call it In Other News. So that's what we're doing, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, brand new stuff, man. They keep going after our Second Amendment rights. They just can't not help themselves. Is that right? Can't not help. Anyway, they cannot help themselves. Live free or die, number three on the triple dipper. We'll cover down on the Second Amendment and what liberals are trying to do to it in the third part of our show today. All right, let me move over to my comments today. A little different tack. I've been watching some things and getting a little bothered by some things. And listen, it's never a good idea for those in positions of power and authority to forget that they are to be public servants, all right? Now, granted, I've seen firsthand when people would question something in Montgomery citing so-called facts they thought they knew that I knew just weren't true. And that happens. It's why public officials should ensure that they maintain a measure of communication with those they serve. And honestly, that they use good judgment and a sense of decorum when they respond. Lately, though, I've seen too much of the opposite. Now, political life, it can be a heady experience. I ran for office myself with an intent to go to Montgomery and, do all I could do to make a difference, right? I knew it was a big deal to serve in the state Senate, but when it really hit me as to the gravity of what I was doing was the day that I had already been elected and I first walked out onto the floor of the state Senate chamber and I found a desk with my nameplate on it. It really set in at that point that I was in a special position with a great deal of weight and responsibility. Now, I wouldn't take anything for my time in the legislature. But along with one-third of the overall members that I ran with in 2010, I chose not to run again in 2018. my calling there was complete. But while I was there, as time went on, I began to recognize two types of people with whom I served. There were those who saw it as service that they would render for such a time as they were allotted by God and the voters, but there were also those for whom public life had become their actual identity. It became less of what they did and more of who they were. And when that happens, when the position becomes the person instead of the person just filling the position, that's when the people get left behind. That's when a sense of entitlement to the job and an indifference to the people for whom the job was intended to serve find themselves on the outside looking in at people who have stopped being public servants and have instead become mere public officials. It's that very attitude that elicited the famous line that is still attributed to this day to Marie Antoinette, "Let them eat cake." You've heard it before. The princess, upon being told that the people had no bread, uttered the callous "let them eat cake" phrase. The actual French word in the utterance was not cake, it was brioche, which is a bread that was enriched with eggs and butter and considered to be a luxury food at the time. It's not known if the statement indicated a frivolous disregard for starving citizens or just a neglectful and indifferent understanding of their actual situation, but in any event, it was a clear indication the princess had lost complete sight of those whom she allegedly represented. And soon after that, we had the French Revolution. Now, people notice when their leaders lose sight of where they came from. Every leader in Montgomery or D.C. or in any city hall or whatever, they all put their pants on one leg at a time. They all came into the world with a learning curve like everyone else. And in a democracy, a society governed by those who are elected, we take notice even more when those who are in positions of elected office effectively lose sight of the realities of life outside the walls of their office. And we care. We don't not want them to have vacations. We don't not want them to see their grandkids or to take a day to themselves. We don't not want them to prosper or have a good retirement. But when we elect people to office and then begin to notice that they've lost sight of their mandate and the office becomes their identity, so much so that they exhibit callousness and indifference and a sense of entitlement, well, then it can breed a sense of resentment among the people. Now, I'm not a fan of everything that George W. Bush did while he was in office. He made some policy decisions that I could do without. But I'll never forget something that seemed to me to be a very positive example of someone who knew why he was there and who he served. You may recall President George W. Bush was an avid golfer. But in the early days of the global war on terror, when U.S. troops began deploying to foreign lands, President Bush stopped playing golf. In his own words, and I quote, "I don't want some mom whose son may have recently died to see the commander-in-chief playing golf. I feel I owe it to the families to be as in solidarity as best I can with them, and I think playing golf during a war just sends the wrong signal." Wow. Critics tried to take issue with him, but he stood by it. And I, for one, saw it, and I appreciated it. Now, you contrast that, though, with several recent indications that just clearly show that just the opposite is the mood of current elected or appointed officials. You may recall that last year, when the supply chain disruptions were so pronounced and the ports of California had ships stacked up 100 deep, unable to be offloaded, that on this show, I asked the question back then, where is the Secretary of Transportation? Where is Pete Buttigieg? Well, we found out soon thereafter that during that heightened state of transportation tension, when dock workers and port authorities and trucking companies were all overwhelmed, that our brand new Secretary of Transportation had taken 2 months of paternity leave, 2 months of paternity leave, because he and his partner had just adopted a child. What? I guess it takes a while to learn to change a diaper. Now, did he learn anything from the criticism about his absence back then? Apparently not. This week, we learned that after a number of questions had gone unanswered, that the absence of public comment from the Secretary of Transportation during the height of the very tense negotiations on the potential railroad strike, a strike, by the way, that experts say would have had a $2 billion, with a B, billion dollar day, per day negative hit to the U.S. economy, a strike that ultimately got beyond the capabilities of the executive branch to even be able to resolve, and it had to be dealt with by congressional action. A strike whose negotiations should have had the visible fingerprints of the Secretary of Transportation on it. Well, we learned this week that the reason we didn't hear from him was because Secretary Buttigieg was not available for direct action because he and his partner had taken some personal time for a 2-week trip to Portugal. Portugal! I dare say the vast majority of U.S. citizens can't even go on a vacation at all right now in Biden's economy, much less for 2 weeks to Portugal at the height of a critical negotiation for which he should have been a point person. It's a callously indifferent attitude to the plight of those he's supposed to serve. But, you know, we see it in Biden's state dinner for the French premier when he served hundreds of Maine lobster right after activists had successfully had Maine lobster designated harmful to endangered whales. We see it in John Kerry flying on his personal jet to Iceland to receive an award for climate leadership in which he has successfully lectured the rest of us to fly less. We see it in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who accepted a $30,000 pair of tickets to the Met Gala in New York while wearing an expensive gown that was emblazoned with the phrase, "Tax the rich." Who does she think she was hobnobbing with that night? We see it in Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who declined to define what a woman is during her confirmation hearings, despite the fact that her job is to fairly and judiciously rule on matters of law that may at some point involve questions of gender discrimination. We see it in Nancy Pelosi, railing against the pandemic and the unvaccinated, and yet having an unwillingness to stop going to get her hair done in a salon that was supposed to be closed and she had it open just for her. And being bipartisan here, we can see it in Senator McConnell. Mitch McConnell siding with Democrats for a massive omnibus spending bill right now during a lame duck session of Congress, knowing full well that Republicans could have a say in the budget in just a little over a month if he would wait. So let them eat cake. It's a dangerous mindset. It only comes, too, that dangerous mindset only comes when they lose touch with the people and when the job becomes their identity. The lofty positions of leadership in our society are special, and they should be. But the shine comes off the apple when those holding the positions forget they don't own the positions and when the position owns them. So let them eat cake? Well, that's a dangerous mindset from which no good can come. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, you've seen it. I'm sure you got your own stories about it. And there's probably 15 more I didn't even think of that were on a national scale even. But I'll just tell you, it's a sad thing when you watch somebody and realize if they don't get elected in the next cycle, they won't know what to do with themselves. That cannot become their identity. You can't do it. You have to be the person who was elected, not get elected in order to be the person. And, let them eat cake. It's not going to work. French Revolution, you know what I'm saying? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right on this beautiful Friday afternoon. You know, I'm still a little perplexed by the weather because I don't even know how to dress in the morning. I mean, I right now I'm wearing a kind of a heavy shirt with a jacket over it, but it's technically almost 50 degrees outside again already, Booms.
I mean, oh, I know. That's why I got shorts on.
This is mid-December, right?
Right. I got shorts and a hoodie.
You're prepared either
prepared,
way.
I'm prepared, and then my wife got mad at me this morning because my little boy said, well, Dad's wearing it, so he put on shorts and a hoodie.
Wants to be like his dad.
That's right, so I couldn't say anything. So
what's he in, 5K right now?
5K, yeah.
5K.
5K. 5K,
dressing like Dad.
Dressing like Dad.
That's good
Give
stuff.
Give it a few more years, and they'd be like, nope.
Wait. Is he dressing like Dad, or are you dressing like him?
Ooh. Well, I was dressed first.
Okay,
today.
All right. We'll go ahead and let it be. All right. Hey, by the way, the text lines have been blowing up here lately. We've got hundreds of people in the text lines. And if you want to join in, we have a good time with that. Yesterday, I'll be honest with you, we had so many of them towards the end of the show, I couldn't even get to them all.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, not the norm. We try to read them as we go. But if you want to text in for the very first time, text in your name. And or not, I take it back. You text in the word right side, just one word, right side. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT is the phone number. 833-68-RIGHT. Text the word right side. You get that, what, automatic message back, Boomer?
Thanks for joining, you right side ruffian.
Yeah.
What's your name and location? We'll put you in the system, and then we'll always know your first name and where you're from, and it'll be all good from there.
And I got to be honest – And I guess I'm doing a shout out right now for it. We were trying to send a message a minute ago to a couple of our regular callers, Sparky from Harvest and Lee from Huntsville, and they are not in our texting system.
I know. I'm so like, I was going to get on to them next time.
What the heck? So, yeah, anyway, 833-687-4448. That's the text line. Text the word right side on your very first time. But then all along the way, text the show, and man, they're popping in right now as we're talking.
Oh, they are. And don't forget as well, if you like to watch the show as well, we do live video stream now.
That's because of you.
Well, I mean, we can do it, and you can actually see Phil sitting at his desk. I mean, he dresses for radio now for live stream. It's awesome.
I can't scratch myself. I've got cameras everywhere in this place. It's just crazy.
YouTube, Facebook, on our website,
Instagram.
And if you're an Instagrammer, it's on Instagram. It's not proportional like everything else, but it does the job.
What does that mean?
Well, it's like
it makes my head look big. What are you saying?
No, it's like zoomed in.
Why is that man's head bigger than his body? He looks like a walking bobblehead doll.
But you can
What's
still
happening?
Hear it, so you can stream it from there. So come on, everybody.
All right, that's all because of you, Boom Shakalaka. You just basically the technology has gone up like 19 notches since you took on. Phones are ringing, text lines are going. I got a brand new texter just texted in. Says this is Al in Athens, not Allie, but Al in Athens. Al, welcome to the text line. We'll get you inputted into the system here momentarily. And Allie from Athens has already texted in. John from Huntsville, Brian from Huntsville. What did Brian Huntsville say? He said, let them eat cake won't work. How about let them eat maple bacon donuts? Awesome. Well, see, that's the working man food right there. That's the official food of Right Side Radio is maple bacon donuts. Boomer, I got about a minute and a half. If we want to bring that caller on, I'll take it right now before we go. You good with that? Yeah, is that JT? JT in Lacey Springs,
sir.
How are you doing, brother? Thank you for our plaques you sent us. Those are awesome.
You are most welcome. One question about those, though.
Yeah.
Should Boomer have been a non-commissioned officer instead of a commissioned officer, you know, like a private first class or something?
Well, he'd at least been an E5 sergeant with hard stripes on his arm. But no, I think you put Captain Boomer on him, and I think it works just fine because he's the captain of the mechanics around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad y'all enjoy those. I know that Mark appreciated the comments and stuff, and he actually got several calls from ruffians
after
hearing his name.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, yeah. I appreciate it, man, and it meant the world to us. And they're on display right now in the studio. I took a picture and sent it showed it to my wife, and she was pretty impressed.
Well, good. Also, on your comments today, typically you're hitting home runs, but I think today was a grand slam.
Oh, thank you, sir.
For the most part, I mean, you brought out some things that, you know, you kind of have in the back of your mind and assume, but you don't always really understand it until you hear it in a described another way.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's a crying shame.
Nevertheless,
but there it is.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all have a good, safe weekend, and I know your holidays are coming up, and y'all have a full week next week.
All right, brother. We'll see you. We'll be in there, I think, pretty much the whole time. JT, we got to bring some break now, buddy. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Take care.
All right. Heading to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering some ground across the northern half of our state. I'm talking about we are way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Man, we got a bunch of folks that are chimed in right now on the text line. In fact, John from Pike Road, I see you, brother, and I know who that is. That's a friend. I appreciate John. I'm glad you're listening. Al from Athens is now on board. John from Huntsville, Robert from Madison, Ken from Rimlap. Glad we got somebody from Rimlap down there in Blount County, down near Aniana Way. Anyway, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. A number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it defense on defense. A little play on words. But yeah, here's the deal. The Biden administration sent over a budget. Congress felt like the budget did not accurately reflect what was necessary. Congress also felt like there were some policies that needed to be changed. Congress also felt like there was a woeful decision being made by the Secretary of the Navy to decommission ships without building up our Navy. And so a lot of things happened, and then there's also woke policies that are at odds and things that are happening right now that are basically the NDAA did far more than just put some money into the budget. What it also did, though, was it removed the vaccine mandate. We'll get into all that kind of stuff for our military. We won't get into all that kind of stuff here in a minute. But the truth of the matter is this. As I began to read it, I kept thinking, now I know that there are times when Congress is probably protecting, you know, the industry in its, you know, district, or, you know, trying to look good for the folks back home. But I really feel like this budget, though, despite the fact that I'm concerned with some of the means by which it passed, I mean, when you've got a $847 billion budget that's 4,406 pages long, and they drop it on the floor and give you 2 days to figure out what's in it and then pass it, and it contains things that are not related to defense, like, you know, how to protect coral reefs and stuff like that, I get it. There's some things in there that need to be done different. In the end, though, this segment is not focused on that. This segment is focused on, how many things did we actually get done in this NDAA that also kind of put the Secretary of Defense on his heels a little bit, like, hey, Congress says, no, you're not going to do it that way. Well, here's a few things. Number one, military.com, they do point out that this, and by the way, all you green suiters out there, thank you for your service. Those of y'all that are retirees, thank you for your service. You're about to get a pay bump. And it's a good one. The National Defense Authorization Act endorses a basic pay raise for 2023 of 4.6%, which is higher than 2022's 2.7%. So yeah, this story came from military.com, dated yesterday. It's a 4.6% increase, which will mean about $1,300 more per year for most of our junior troops of all the branches on the average. And then about $2,500 more for senior enlisted and junior officers. And I'm not sure what it'll mean for senior officers. But, good on you, Congress. Now, it doesn't quite reach the level of inflation. I mean, we're still at 7.1% inflation, so a 4.7% or 4.6% pay bump, that helps. Doesn't quite reach where they would have been in terms of spending power this time a year or two ago. However, it's still something. So there's that. That pay increase is more than what was being asked for, or roughly on par with what was being asked for by the Biden administration. What else is in this bill? Well, I'm going to get into some of the big ticket items on some separate stories, but I've got one right here, though, from Wall Street Journal, which breaks down a bunch of stuff. So let me hang on this article just for a minute. So they cite it as an $858 billion defense policy bill that authorizes military leaders to purchase new weapons, increase pay for troops, do all these things. The 4.6% pay raise I just talked about. It also, by the way, increases housing allowance by another 2%. So in essence, those of you that receive BAH, a basic allowance for housing, in the service, you're getting a pay bump there, and you're getting a pay bump in your actual payroll. So there's that. What else is in there? How about weapon systems? Well, the bill authorizes more than $160 billion for aircraft, missiles, ammunition, combat vehicles, Navy ships, other equipment. So it's a huge set aside for actual equipment and weaponry. What about the military's court system? I didn't see this one coming. This one's a little odd. This is taking the manner in which we have administered the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, for, I don't know, ever, and changing it. It's going to make the military justice system subject to having randomized court-martial juries, meaning kind of like we do with a civilian sector where people get called in and then a jury is selected. Well, it's not that way in the military very often, if I'm not mistaken. It's comprised of officers or senior enlisted who were appointed to be on the jury. This is going to change that. So it does have some changes on what judicial and prosecutorial powers commanders can have over certain offenses, and we'll see how that plays out. I'm not sure how that one got in there or what the intent was or why. Vaccine mandates I'll get back to. How about this? NDAA funds $10 billion, with a B, billion dollars over the next 5 years to finance sales of weaponry and military equipment to Taiwan to bolster them in the event of incursions by China. That's a huge big-ticket item, and that's an up-fund, I believe, from what the Biden administration was asking for. But $10 billion to another nation, with whom we have, by the way, maintained what they call strategic ambiguity, meaning that we don't have an actual, you know, status of forces agreement. We don't have an actual NATO ally, per se, where we fall back on provisions within the NATO alliance force structure that requires us to respond to Article 5. None of that. Taiwan. But Taiwan is crucial, and Taiwan sits there. And some experts say, and I've got one article that says that they believe that Taiwan may be under threat of invasion by China by the year 2027. $10 billion in this NDAA to fund 5 years of sales of weaponry and military equipment to Taiwan. Wow! All right, how about this? Another $1 billion. This is odd. This is interesting. Another $1 billion to buy minerals like hard-to-get metals and lithium-ion battery ingredients for our defense stockpile, because we've been depleting them. And, oh, by the way, because guess who has the majority of them? China. So $1 billion in the defense budget to be able to procure rare earth metals and other things necessary for our lithium batteries for military hardware. Didn't see that coming. $800 million for Ukraine. And then here's one of those policy decisions. So the Navy has been preparing to retire 5 of the 9 littoral combat ships. Well, you know, first of all, you look at it and go, those things are not very old. They were built right here in Austell Boatyards in Alabama. The littoral combat ships, they have not been around very long at all. Like what, a decade? And the Navy's already wanting to retire 9 of them? I've heard they have problems. Congress says you're not retiring them. You're not going to retire them. They are considered high-tech, fast-moving ships with lean crews designed for pursuing pirates, detecting mines, plying coastal waters, which I think is basically a redesign of the mission that they were originally talked about for. That being said, lots of money being spent on lots of things in the NDAA. Now, let's talk about the one that everybody knows. All God's children know the vaccine mandate has been crushing the soul of recruiters left and right. It's been killing morale. It's been causing people to lose their careers. It was an ill-conceived vaccine mandate. And I will say this, okay, out of all the mandates that Biden tried, I don't want to say this made sense, but go with me here. Out of all the mandates that Biden tried, private sector, you know, medical personnel, defense contractors, it was just ridiculous. This is the only one that I felt like he actually had the authority to make, truthfully. He's the commander-in-chief. These are his troops. He said, get the shot. So while I see this and recognize the authority he acted on this one, perhaps constitutional at the very least, what did happen, though, was there was a real serious concern by so many troops that they were violating their religious sentiments and that they were asking for a mere religious accommodation, and they were being wholesale denied. The law requires they be given a case-by-case review under the Religious Protection Act, and that wasn't happening. Courts left and right now have been finding that the Department of Defense has been basically just jacking people around, ruining careers, and not giving them due process like they're supposed to. Well, it's crushed morale. It has reduced readiness. It has depleted our ability to recruit, and it's got to stop. Well, it looks like it's going to stop if the president will sign the NDAA. So more on that in a minute, but here's the deal. The National Defense Authorization Act does pull the vaccine mandate completely out. Democrats believed, according to a story here on CNN, they weren't going to pass the NDAA without acquiescing to Republican demands. But I will say this. Most of them were trying not to get in the face of the Democrat president. But most of the Democrats recognize as much as anybody else that it's not working. I mean, you're going to have some liberal schmoes out there who are not going to give in. But the reality is most Democrats, along with the Republicans, recognized that a vaccine that doesn't stop you from getting sick is not really a vaccine. And that everybody gets sick even after they've had the shot. Why would you make that mandatory and end the careers of highly trained individuals? I don't care if you're a mechanic, a truck driver, or a SEAL team operator. The reality is you're trained up and you're a part of the fighting force. And then you're losing your career. Well, CNN reports the Senate voted yesterday afternoon to pass sweeping legislation that would authorize the NDAA. It is now cleared the Senate. It is headed to the president for signature. And the provision to rescind the military's COVID vaccine mandate is included. It comes after congressional Republicans had pushed for its repeal. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy praised the provision, saying, quote, "The end of President Biden's military COVID vaccine mandate is a victory for our military and for common sense." I agree with that. There was a proposed amendment on the floor by Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and other conservatives that would have reinstated members of the military who were discharged for refusing to get the vaccine back in the day, but that amendment did not pass. So right now the question becomes, what are they going to do with those who already lost their careers? What are they going to do with people who are flagged? What are they going to do with people who were pending discharge? I mean, when you're flagged for promotion, that's a career killer. They better lift the flags. If someone got a counseling statement, they better remove the counseling statement. If someone lost their career, they should have the opportunity to come back once they realized and changed the policy. I mean, daggum. All right. That being said, the White House declined to say last week whether Biden would sign because the Biden administration reiterates the president continues to support the mandate. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is also on record saying he believes the mandate should remain. I don't know. Maybe they're just covering themselves. Maybe they're just not wanting to stop for a second and realize this has reached the point where you can't defend it any longer. And like I said on the show the other day, before we go to the break, I'll point it out here. Agent Orange was a great idea when it first started. Anthrax vaccines were a great idea when they first started. And Mefloquine, which was a malaria medicine that the DOD had to quit using, was a great idea when it started. All of them were proved to be incorrect, and the DOD policy did away with them. It's time to do the same for the vaccine mandate and suck it up, Secretary of Defense. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, bro. We'll do it right now. Take this break. Come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. The defense is on defense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we got some other stuff here in this section I'm doing right now called the Defense is on Defense. Story here from the National Guard Association, really a press release issued by the National Guard Association. NDAA covers more than vaccine repeal. Okay, they're excited about this, apparently, but they want to make sure several other things are pointed out. The new National Defense Authorization Act has several other provisions impacting the National Guard. The NDAA only authorizes spending, but the dollar amount that will be available to the armed forces will be stipulated in defense appropriations. Among the NDAA's guard details, one of them is this: transitional health care benefits for guard soldiers and airmen separated from active duty. So, in other words, if you get called up for active duty in the guard, you're going to be able to maintain TRICARE insurance for at least 30 days after you leave active orders. So there's that. You go from Title 32 to Title 10. And then you get 30 days of additional insurance coverage after you leave. That's a good deal. Other language in the measure requires a study, but it's step one, a study on providing no-cost TRICARE Reserve Select and dental coverage to all Guard and Reserve members. And I think that's a win. I mean, TRICARE Reserve Select, we used to use that. You do pay a portion of your own premium, but you get to buy into the plan. And then you're participating in a larger plan that allows you to use your home doctors, and I think it's a great perk. It's a great recruiting tool. So yeah, there's that. There's also a provision in there that would require the appropriate service secretary to backdate the effective date or rank for any guard officer waiting more than 100 days for federal recognition. So if you're not familiar, hey folks, listen. Here's the deal: if you get promoted in the guard, you have to get what's called federal recognition. Federal recognition basically means like, hey, state of Alabama wants to make that man a colonel, but we've got to wait until someone at the Fed level says, that's a good idea, go ahead, Alabama. Because when you're in the Guard, you're in state status until you're activated. So that being said, federal recognition can sometimes take a long time, and then you got a guy's career that's being stymied. Well, what they're saying here is, hey, federals, if you don't act within 100 days, I mean like over 3 months, then guess what? They're going to promote under the assumption that you don't have a problem with it. So there's that. That's also in the NDAA. The language ending the Pentagon's controversial vaccine mandate does give the Defense Secretary 30 days from the date the president signs the NDAA to rescind the mandate that members of the armed forces be vaccinated. Such a move would end separations for personnel refusing the vaccine, which has been a huge thing in the Guard. You think it's been a big deal in active duty, man. The National Guard has been raked over the coals by the vaccine mandate. In Alabama alone, I think the number was something like 11,000 troops we were about to lose. That being said, they've already lost 8,000 in the National Guard from separations due to the vaccine. And those, by the way, are the involuntary separations, I believe. It doesn't count people like my friend who went ahead and put his paperwork in to get out on his own steam so he would know he could get back in later if he wanted to. One thing not in the NDAA for the Guard, they wanted to do a Space National Guard for Space Force, and that did not happen. That actually was in and got pulled out in the Senate version, I believe. I will reiterate, and CNN reiterates, story from last week is the White House will not say if the president is going to sign the NDAA with the vaccine mandate removed. I got a text here from John from Huntsville. In fact, he just asked me right now. I just happened to see it. Says, Phil, do you really think Joe Biden's going to put an end to the military vaccine mandates because he quite often does not do what he should do? I agree, John. I think in this case, he's hornswoggled. I don't know how he can possibly justify keeping it in place. I think there's going to have to be, at the very least, some kind of accommodation process that's going to be enhanced for people to apply for their religious accommodations. But anyway, all that to say, John, I think he's going to have to sign it. It's a bipartisan issue. His own party is saying this is a killer for us. In fact, when you start reading between the lines, John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Defense Council, National Security Council, he said that they believe it's a repeal is a mistake, but they do take some comfort at the high level of vaccination rates they already have. That tells me they're like trying to soften the blow. All right, we're going to wrap this up when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, dude, we got it all. And we cover down solid conservative and just plain right. Man, the text lines are blowing up. If you want to join the text line, by the way, people text the show all the time with their comments, their questions. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Boomer, who's new? We got several new ones in the last few minutes.
Yeah, we got Jenny from Addison, Alabama. I think we called out Ken from Marimlap.
Yeah.
We got... Let's see here.
John
from
Pike Road.
Yeah. And Jason from Jasper, Alabama.
Yeah.
Al from Athens. I mean, we've got a lot just right now. I'm trying to come up with all of them that are new.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
very
cool. So you
don't miss
anybody.
I see Badger from Athens is saying happy holidays to all the Right Side folks. Thank you, Badger. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Ken from Rimblatt says great show. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Jeff from Indiana's got it going on, though. So Jeff from Indiana... Our buddy, who's a over-the-road truck driver, is stuck. He said that really just across the state line from Alabama going into Tennessee, I-65 has a overturned tanker across all lanes going north on the state at the state line. So if you're heading north on I-65, you need to find another way around right now.
Yes.
If you're using Waze, it'll probably tell you. But yeah, you need to find another way around that because apparently I-65 is blocked just past the state line going north. So, Jeff, blessings on you, man. Sorry to hear that. All right. Well, I take it back. Jeff was actually on his southbound. Jeff was southbound. He's just coming into Huntsville right now, he says, passing the big old rockets, he said. So I'm glad to hear that. So it sounded like Jeff was seeing it on the opposite direction. But
oh, good. Maybe he can go around it then.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Hey, listen, back to the number one of the triple dippers, I wrap this up. And by the way, bottom of this hour, you want to stay tuned. One of our newest state representatives, Ernie Yarbrough, from right up here in North Alabama, he'll be on the air with us. You're going to want to hear that conversation. He's a good dude. All right, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the budget for the defense. There are some aspects of it, like I've been saying here, number one of the triple dipper, that has put the defense on defense. Here's a story that's not quite the budget, but it leads into what I was about to say next. There has been a nauseating pursuit of wokeness and the pretending that we are systemically filled with extremism in our ranks. That has been a whole part of this administration we've been in for the last 2 years. Well, for instance, here, the article I've got from Fox News dated today. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican out of New York, she accused the Defense Department of slow-walking a review of a diversity official who recently tweeted out that she's exhausted with these white folks and said the delay is an attempt to shamefully cover up a radical woke agenda. So if you're not familiar, what happened this past late summer, I believe it was, August, I think, it was discovered that a lady by the name of Kalisa Wing, W-I-N-G, Kalisa Wing. She's the Chief of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at the Department of Defense Education Activity. In other words, she's responsible in some way for diversity, equity, and inclusion at all of the DOD schools overseas, which, by the way, I used to go to one myself, London Central High School in London, England. She got caught because she's brazen enough, because she feels empowered by the current administration to be out there on social media as the diversity, equity, and inclusion officer saying things like, I'm just exhausted with all these white folks. And then saying things like, you know, promoting social justice books for classrooms that called 911 responders menaces. So anyway, there was supposed to be a 30-day review by the DOD of her statements and positions. It's been well over 90 days. And Representative Elise Stefanik wants to know, what's up? Well, so the NDAA is basically saying, let's put an end to some of this stuff. Here's a story from Roll Call. So rollcall.com has literally put our, I guess, put the DOD on defense here, because under previous NDAAs, the Biden administration has been pushing for constant, you know, extremism training, and the Secretary of Defense halted all training and put everything on a training stop for, you know, a period of time to go through extremist training. And you were hearing things about critical race theory being in the ranks, and people having to do privilege walks, you know, and stuff like it's just on and on and on. Absolutely should not be happening. And by the way, I spent 30 years of service. My family is generational service. I've got friends and family still in the service now. And I can't tell you anyone who agrees that there is some form of systemic racism or extremism in the ranks. Now, the military is a reflection of culture. So you're going to have the one-offs. You're going to have nut jobs in uniform as much as you have nut jobs not in uniform. But being systemic is like saying it's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's the majority. It's what we do. No. Well, story from rollcall.com, which is, you know, doesn't seem to like this, but here it is. The lawmakers who wrote this year's final defense authorization bill deleted or diluted all 8 House-passed NDAA provisions pertaining to extremism. In other words, they pulled them out. Most of the discarded provisions the House included in its initial version of the NDAA merely sought information about the threat posed by groups such as domestic terrorists, criminal gangs, and organizations committed to advancing white supremacy or anti-Semitism. Because, yeah, they're everywhere. Watch it, man. Got Klan rallies going on in the barracks. No. Of the 8 provisions, 7 were completely removed from the bill that is expected to become law. The expunging of domestic extremism provisions from the final fiscal 2023 NDAA has not been previously reported, meaning Roll Call is saying, ain't nobody saying this but us. Well, they are the only place I heard it. The deletions come 5 months after the Senate Armed Services Committee, in the report accompanying its version of the NDAA, issued non-binding language calling for an immediate halt to the Pentagon's counter-extremism programs. The danger of extremism in the ranks, the committee said, does not warrant the time and money being spent on training and education to prevent or root it out. I agree. I mean, we're looking right now, by the way, if you're not familiar, one of our congressmen from Alabama, Mike Rogers, represents the eastern side of Alabama. Mike Rogers is about to be the chair, not ranking member anymore, but the chair of House Armed Services. It's going to be a big deal for Alabama. But they tried to reach him for comment. They didn't get him, but he has been on record in the past saying that he's adamant that the Defense Department's civilian leaders are too focused on so-called woke pursuits, from countering extremism to welcoming transgender service members. He has promised to closely monitor it, and the Department of Homeland Security has called domestic extremists the most serious terrorist threat to America, but Republicans generally disagree. Yeah, I'm pretty sure what's happening in terms of extremist terrorism cells around the world is far more, of a threat than the perception that there is something systemic in America. It's ridiculous. All right, we're still on the NDAA. Got a little more. Some of y'all are going to love this. How many of my Navy vets out there can I hear a call? Okay, so defensenews.com. Headline, dated yesterday, Congress is building a stronger fleet than the Navy. This is interesting. This is an opinion piece, by the way. It's not like true reporting. It's Representative Rob Whitman, and I'm not sure where he represents. I need to look him up. Anyway, Representative Rob Whitman starts off by saying in this piece from defensenews.com, last Thursday, the House voted on the NDAA for fiscal 2023 that secures the future of our naval fleet for another year. Fortunately, Congress improved the Navy's FY23 inadequate shipbuilding plans in critical ways. Says we rejected the Navy's ship construction plans, their decommissioning schedules, their force structure proposals, and their overarching threat assumptions. Basically, what they said was, Navy, you don't know what you're doing. It's interesting. I mean, so every once in a while, you look at Congress and you go, y'all, let the generals do their jobs. Let the admirals have their say. Other times you look at it and go, man, I am glad Congress stepped in. So this is one of those times, I guess. His opinion, Representative Whitman's, says fleet capacity can't be sacrificed in the near term. China is going to likely aim to reintegrate Taiwan by force by 2027. Our entire force structure should be optimized to prevent conflict at the time of our greatest vulnerability, and our president must have options to respond appropriately. He says, in his words, this will necessitate holes in the water with a deep arsenal of weapons. I'm assuming that Representative Rob Whitman is a Navy vet. He talks like one. He says, for this reason, Congress rejected the Navy's request to retire ships that still have service life remaining. The judgment from Congress conflicts with Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro's recent comments that many members of Congress have been very supportive of decommissioning the ships. Apparently not, because many members of Congress just rejected you, Mr. Secretary. Congress is willing to build more ships than the Navy, is the conclusion of Representative Whitman. All right, last one, last piece. Cybersecurity, it's the wave of the future. Got family members in the realm of cybersecurity. Well, cybersecurityonline.com. Dozens of cybersecurity efforts are included in this year's USNDAA. And by the way, think about it. Cybersecurity, what's that mean? They're going to just protect from hackers? Yeah. Think about what happens if major hacks occur across our electrical grid and shut down power. What happens if major hackers get into our GPS guidance systems? What happens if major hackers get into our telecoms and begin to shut down our critical infrastructure, or we can't process water at our water treatment plants? It's a big, hairy deal. And when you consider what a cyber attack could do, a cyber attack, in my opinion, would wind up being the prelude to a major attack. Last week, members of the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate reconciled their versions of the annual NDAA, and it contains a wealth of primarily military cybersecurity provisions. Things like, and I'll give them real quick, upfunding U.S. Cyber Command's what they call the hunt forward operations, meaning the going on the hunt, being more aggressive in reaching out to protect our systems. Increased funding for Cyber Mission Force operational support, $168 million for Cyber Mission Force operational support, management and oversight of joint cyber warfighting architecture, and protection, like I said a moment ago, of critical infrastructure is a primary defense mission. So Congress saw fit to upfund our cyber capabilities and to do so in a very robust manner. All right, did you hear that? No vaccine mandates. Nothing special for the National Guard, but some perks. Lots of new Navy ships being built. Upfunding, raises for people still in service, including your BAH for housing. And then on top of that, cybersecurity. All right, how about that? Boomer, $847 billion explained. Take us to the break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back, put a capstone on it, find a maple bacon donut, and bottom of the hour, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got some new folks on the text line. I see Stephen from Decatur is in there. Jason from Jasper says, yes, the maple bacon donut's the official donut of Right Side Radio. And then he says, blessings to you and your family, sir. Merry Christmas to you too, Jason. Thank you very much for that. Jeannie from, is that Addison or Anniston? Do you know which one that was supposed to be? Addison, Alabama? I don't know if it's Addison or Anniston, but it could be either one now that I say that. So, Jeannie, text back in to clarify. Did she write it on there?
She wrote it Addison.
Oh, she wrote Addison. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. My fault, Boomer. I didn't know if we had a spell check trying to do something on us. Jeff from Indiana clarified that he is doing okay. He called in to say that he's all right on the road. So, Jeff, we're glad of it, man. Man, we just it's been full up. But phones are ringing. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. If you want to call in or text in, 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. By the way, I get asked once in a while, how'd you come up with a phone number? Well, the word right's kind of obvious, but here's the deal. When we're setting up the new studio and we syndicated, we had to have all of our own stuff. We couldn't just expect, you know, one station to be our host and all the other stations receive the benefits. So we had to set up our own studio, all of our own tech, all our own gear, and new phone lines. And I said, I want the word right to be in there. But you can't fit right side. It doesn't fit. So they told me I had the ability to do several versions, and they gave me the choices. And one of them was 833-68-RIGHT. Well, my first car was a 68 Mustang, so you can figure out now how it came about. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number. I got a caller on the line. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How are you, brother?
Hey, I'm excellent, man, and great show as usual this happy Friday by you and Boomer.
Well, thank you, sir.
I was listening with great interest to your perspective on the congressmen and their admonitions to the Navy and the building of and retaining of Navy vessels. That was very interesting to listen to that. I would remind, and I think you were on this topic the other day, it does no good to build more ships or retain more ships if you can't retain people.
That's true.
And if you excoriate people who would file a grievance over saying, you can't say we have to man these ships, right?
Yeah.
Because man is, you know, it's a politically incorrect term in this new woke generation of military. And I don't think the military service members are woke. They're being fed woke nonsense. I witnessed it. You witnesses maybe. During the Clinton years, Barack Obama doubled down on trying to diminish and demoralize the military with woke nonsense, and now they're just full-on insanity. And speaking of insanity, the celebration of gender dysphoria, a mental illness, has got to be one of the dumbest and most destructive to the military things that you could possibly embrace and encourage. And I can't even assign a political motive to it, except a desire to destroy the military to where they're feckless and useless and makes us subservient to, I don't know, a new world government under probably the authorship of China.
Yeah, you know, Sparky, you say that about the gender dysphoria and the celebration of it in the military ranks. Like, I had a piece, oh gosh, it's been a month and a half, 2 months ago, that apparently the Air Force Special Operations just has its own dive school. I didn't know that. But I guess the Parajet Rescue, the PJs and all those use it. But anyway, they decided they're going to make all their locker rooms, showers, and bathrooms in the new dive facility co-ed, gender neutral. So basically, people are walking in and out while you're in the shower. And I look at that and think, the vast majority of people that are going to go to training there don't want that. And they're celebrating somebody who's not even going to be there. It just makes no sense. But there was a piece. I don't know if you ever follow Kurt Schlichter. He's a former infantry officer who writes now for townhall.com. And he wrote a piece yesterday, and he said, it's okay for us to say no to weirdos. And it's, you know, he just looked at it and said, why do we keep pretending? It's like the emperor has no clothes. Why do we keep pretending he has clothes on when he doesn't? And
remember, President Trump staffed a very brief study, and then he concluded and told the people who are interested in infusing and interjecting transgender people into the military. At that time, they said, look, it doesn't make manpower sense. It doesn't make money sense to bring on and assess people who are guaranteed to have serious medical problems, expensive medical problems, and a 51% chance of committing suicide. There's no common sense reason to bring that sort of situation into the military, if only to pander for votes. I mean, and that's really what it's all about.
Yep.
Pandering to a fraction of the population.
Hey, Sparky, the music's playing, brother. That means I got a heartbreak. Got to go, man. You have a great day, brother. We got your number now. All right, we'll see you, bud.
All right.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And, hey, listen, Boomer, by the way, I got to tell you, on the text line, I'm pretty stoked. Amanda from Decatur says she'll make us some homemade maple bacon donuts after Christmas.
Oh, all right.
That's the official food of Right Side Radio, by the way.
Official food. I love it.
We declared it this week. Yeah, that's good stuff. By the way, you know who I've not seen on the text line in quite a while is Grandma Wanda.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope she's well.
Wanda, I hope you're having a Merry Christmas.
That's right. And if you're there out there listening to the show, just text us in. Hey, listen, we got a guest coming on right now. I'm pretty excited to have him on. We tried to have him on last week, but he and his family were traveling, and so he is back now. Brand spanking new state representative Ernie Yarbrough represents House District 7. He hails from Trinity, Alabama, up there just to the west of Decatur. So State Representative Ernie Yarbrough on the phone right now. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a privilege and an honor to be on your show, and I love and support what you do so much, man.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you. And you are one of those, by the way, who ran against an incumbent. You came out of nowhere, and bam, all of a sudden you're like fresh out the box. You're a Republican state representative. How you doing?
No, we're doing great. No, it was definitely a something that wasn't on our radar 4 years ago, but it was something through just the providence of God and the circumstances kind of, you know, besides being raised in a family of love and history and freedom and politics and then COVID and, you know, just the wrestle around our freedoms and liberties. It kind of just was the last piece of the killing and the match that struck the desire to jump in there and make a difference. And so we're just so grateful to the Lord for honoring our hard work and putting us in a place in the position where we can serve and make a difference.
Well, and I know that feeling, and I don't know about you, but it was like late in the, I mean, like almost to the point of election day when I ran my first time that I realized, oh, if I win, I take office that night, like the night of the election, bam, instant senator, and, or in your case, instant representative. I don't think I even caught on to that till I was pretty close to the end of the election.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had some other friends of mine who were representatives who called that day, you know, so we have, it was such a fun day. You know, we felt good about our polling, but you know, you never know until, you know, as it were, the fat lady sings, you don't know, you keep your foot on the gas pedal till you blow through the finish line. And then you look back and kind of steer almost like in a wreck toward the podium, you hope, you know. But, we had all of our team out there. You know, when they closed the polls, getting pictures of the receipts and, you know, and texting it back, and we were calculating numbers. And then and the way it works in Lawrence County, you know, we all go back to this big gymnasium. And so by that point, we felt like the Lord had put us in a good position to win. So we, you know, we called our friends and family and said, come meet us. And then when we got the official news there, it was just hugs and tears, and we actually all, as a big family there, we sang the doxology. We were so thankful for God blessing our work.
Wow. Well, listen, man, you know, I hear from you every time we talk. Your faith is evident, and I'm so pleased about that. I think you even did a recent interview on another show or something about the idea of having more Christians willing to run for office. Your faith is definitely a piece of— It's really instrumental that people realize that when you're elected as a person of faith, you don't leave your faith behind. You take it with you into what you're doing. What are your thoughts on being a Christian in office right now?
Yeah, no, I think, I think it's incredibly important that we acknowledge the Christian history of our country. And the reality is that, you know, when it comes to law and truth and loving your neighbor as yourself and having righteous, fair standards of justice where you don't, you know, you don't judge the rich any different than the poor, the high any different than the low, as it were, or whatever. You know, the Founding Fathers spoke very openly about the fact that, I forget which one it was, he said that the Constitution was written for a religious people, and it's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And so, you know, you see those religious terms of faith and acknowledgement in God and in the Lord woven throughout our governing documents. And so, to me, it is a critical foundational piece. You know, we live in a time where we see our culture and our nation in upheaval about what's right and what's wrong, what's up and what's down, what's a boy, what's a girl.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, you know, I feel like that it is so important that we return to that hinge point and that center foundational piece that God has spoken and that liberty and law. I mean, we even have it at our Supreme Court. There's the Ten Commandments. And so I think it's really important that we don't be afraid to establish and to maintain the point that our nation and our liberty has its roots in faith and in the Bible. And I think it's really important that we have leaders with courage and conviction to state that.
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree, and I support you in that. And I know the majority of our audience does too. And but I'll say this too: yes, your faith is your guide, and I know that to be true. And yes, I believe your faith should be evident in all that you do, because if you're a person of faith, you should be a representative of faith. That being said, it's not like you don't know the issues and you only ran on your faith. I mean, you ran on the issues themselves, guided in part by your faith. And one of the things that really struck me, I hosted an event one night, a candidate forum, and you were there, and so was your opponent, who was the incumbent. And you had an amazing grasp of the facts and the figures and the ability to speak to the issues, and I think it shocked your incumbent, who you beat. But let me ask you this: of all those things that we talked about, and maybe more, is there any one thing that you're like, if I get to Montgomery and I can make a difference on a piece of legislation, I want it to be this? Fill in the blank. What would it be?
Yeah, no, I two areas that I feel very passionate about are our medical freedom and protecting our ability to govern what goes in our body without fear or threat of our job or our career. But also, I'm a big proponent of school choice. I think right now we see, you know, as I knocked about 8,000 doors between the primary and the general, you know, so many, many, many parents were concerned about the hearts and minds and souls of their children. And, you know, right now we recognize that we're in this battleground culturally and politically, which, you know, goes back to the home eventually. But I feel like that a key and critical component of that battle is to let parents know, look, you have the power, you have the right and the authority, the God-given right and responsibility to safeguard the minds and hearts and souls of your children. And you have all the qualifications you need to guide and govern and safeguard your children by the very fact that God has given those children to you. And so I believe that school choice is a key component of that, because when you put the power back in the hands of those who are invested and given that duty by God, then you put the authority and the power to make the difference for that topic of education back in the right place.
Well, so let me ask you, I mean, and I'll just tell you, one of my, to me, two of the losses that we've experienced, one is the retirement of State Senator Del Marsh, who was the Senate champion for school choice, and then the inability of Charlotte Meadows, Representative Charlotte Meadows, to overcome the gerrymandering of her district that caused her to have a far more uphill battle, and she lost her election. So we've lost both the House and Senate champions for school choice. Do you see other members of the body? Have you talked to anybody else who you believe will band together with you on the issue of school choice? Because right now it appears to be an uphill climb, in my opinion, with the sentiment we're hearing out of Montgomery.
Well, I do believe that there are others that will band with me and join with me in this battle. You know, the reality is that it probably is an uphill battle, but I do believe that there are, I've talked to many who have voiced their concern and their support for this idea, who are with me there in Montgomery. I think, you know, in the conversation and the topic, as we approach this topic, you know, I was recently on the Del Jackson show, and I used the example of a pyramid. You know, and so often these government structures are the structure of society that causes us to have a top-down dominated society where you have this pyramid. You know, Pharaoh built pyramids because he wanted to reinforce, in part, to the minds of the people that he was at the top and they were beneath him. You know, and so when you focus on the wide base of group rights and identity politics, it always leads to tyranny and control at the top by a few. But, you know, the American dream was you invert the pyramid, you put that point at the bottom. So the foundation was the individual liberties, the individual rights of the American citizen. And so as you go up, that pyramid gets wider, more people are involved in making decisions and casting votes, which is representative government, all to the point of back to that bottom base of preserving individual liberties and freedoms. And so my hope and prayer is that we can discuss this topic in the context of free market capitalism and of individual liberties and freedoms that I hope COVID and the abuses around COVID have brought to the forefront to make people to see, look, this is not simply an issue. It is an issue of making our schools better, because in a free market competition, right, when you have free and true and honest competition, quality goes up and cost goes down. When the government controls everything top down and there's no repercussions for poor quality, then cost goes up and quality goes down. So our children suffer. But that's true across the board in so many things. So it's really just the educational aspect of restoring individual liberties and freedoms and putting the power back in the hands of consumers, customers, and citizens to make the choices that they know is best for their family.
Man, I tell you what, I wish everybody talked like you. But, I mean, I'm just sitting here enjoying this. I'm like thinking, okay, he's going to have to guest host my show one day. But, let me ask you this. Ernie, remind me, is this the first time you've run for office of any kind? Or have you been in office?
It is the first time, yes, sir.
Well, all right, so let me ask you this. Was there any kind of a surreal moment? Like, I mean, when I ran for the state Senate, I'll be honest, I knew I was running for something important. I didn't belittle it or take it lightly. But then I got down to Montgomery, and I walked in the Senate chamber for the very first time, and my name was on a desk, and it just hit me. I'm a part of something kind of unique and different, and I have a chance to do something important. Have you had any of those moments there where you had, like, you know, like a pinch me kind of moments?
I did, actually. Funny you mentioned that. It happened this week. So this week was amazing honor to be down in Montgomery for freshman orientation.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a moment to give a huge shout out to Scott Stathagen and the other, you know, previous freshman class that are 4 years in. They've arranged all this training and documentation and all these great things that they, you know, maybe previous folks didn't have. And in so doing, that first full day of training, they brought us into the state house and, you know, into the chamber where we cast our votes. And there it was. I walked in, I looked up, I took a deep breath, and I kind of let it out. I looked around and was like, wow, I kind of got a little bit emotional. And I found my seat with my name on it. And I just thought, wow, Lord, you brought me here to make a difference. And I just can't believe that I'm actually here and I'm seeing my name up on the board and on this booth where I get to sit. It was amazing. It was an amazing feeling.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was walking one day outside the state house with Greg Reed, who is now the pro tem of the state Senate. And I happened to glance over, he and I were walking together, and I saw the Capitol dome in the distance. And I told him, I said, I hope I never get tired of this. And so anyway, blessings on you, my friend. I appreciate the fact that you've got that sentiment. And and literally, I really look forward to seeing what you're going to do. And thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. And I just can't reiterate the importance that you have and other news agencies to help just turn light switches on and let freedom and truth ring. That's all we want to do. We don't have an agenda. We don't want to have our own good old boys club and our own. No, we just want truth and freedom and prosperity and liberty and righteousness to be the rule of the day so the people of the state of Alabama can enjoy their God-given blessings. That's all we want.
All right. Well, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, House District 7, congratulations on being elected. Thanks for being on Right Side Radio. We look forward to having you back again sometime soon.
Thank you, sir. Look forward to it.
All right. Take care. Dang, man. Booms. I wish everybody talked like that.
Oh, you know? I know. I was like, whoa.
I'm just sitting here thinking, praise God. All right. Well, listen, folks, you heard it. That's one of your brand new state representatives. And by the way, just a dude, you know, never run for office before. When I ran for the Senate, I had never run for any office before. And don't think for a second that there is anything lofty about someone who's in the state legislature. They're all around your community. They go to the same churches, same restaurants, same work in the same office buildings because the legislature is a part-time job. But they go down there and they get to make decisions that impact the day-to-day life of everybody in Alabama. And so you need to get to know them and get to know who they are and find out what their sentiments are. And we need more people with sentiments like what we just heard. All right, let's take a break, buddy. I ran about a minute and a half longer than usual because we had a good thing going there. We'll come right back. I'm going to start up the second part of the Triple Dipper in other news. Things that are happening. One-off stories, but they deserve some attention. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Thank you to Cynthia from Claiborne County to send in a Merry Christmas to us. We appreciate you, Cynthia. Thank you for listening over there in Claiborne County. And she's got the Christmas emojis attached to it. We appreciate that. Hey, listen, folks, you hear me talking about the lawyers down yonder at Riley and Jackson. I was actually texting back and forth with some of their folks today. Riley and Jackson, they're a great firm out of Birmingham area, but they practice all over the state, really all over the region. But they literally have been working hard on this Camp Lejeune water contamination case. They got like five lawyers assigned to it, and they've had a number of Right Side listeners call in and become their clients. So if you were ever at Camp Lejeune between 1953 and 1987, that's a long span, 1953 to 1987, you were there as a permanent duty station service member, a dependent, a trainee on TDY, something. If you were at Camp Lejeune, you may have been exposed to upwards of 19 different illnesses attributed to this water contamination they had and be eligible for a claim. Riley and Jackson can help you with that. Here's the other one they told me they're working on, though. They wanted me to make sure you knew. If you were a firefighter or you were in the military using firefighting foam, then the possibility exists you could have been exposed to a carcinogenic form of the firefighting foam that you know, can get pretty serious. So you may have a claim there too. That being said, Riley and Jackson is not going to charge you for the phone call. You call them. They'll consult with you. They'll see whether or not you qualify or have the standards necessary for a further consultation. They will not get paid at all, by the way, unless they get a claim paid for you. So check them out, Riley and Jackson. Here's their phone number. You ready? 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. I like these folks. I've worked with them on cases. I've worked with them on issues. And I like to say they're not just right on the law. They're also right on politics, if you know what I'm saying. So Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Here's my disclaimer. No representation made the quality legal service before. It's great the quality legal service for other lawyers. Wow. Did you time that?
Yeah, I did.
How'd I do?
2.9.
2.9. I'm slowing down, man.
Slowing down.
I need some more caffeine. What do I do?
Gotta get this a donut.
I need a maple bacon donut. That's what I need. All right. Yeah, that is the official, by the way, the official food of Right Side Radio now. We used to have what we call Right Side Rations, which was chocolate and caffeine. But as the show has grown, we are more sophisticated now.
More sophisticated.
Yes, we're.
We need that maple bacon.
Yes,
donut.
We have. Our palate has matured. our taste buds have morphed. The vast cornucopia, the veritable plethora, the buffet, if you will, of items that we could have chosen from, we selected the maple bacon donut as the official food of Right Side Radio. What do you do with me, Boomer?
This is great.
It's Friday afternoon. We got our Christmas party tonight.
Yes.
Right Side Christmas party. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be great.
Going to have some food. Going to have some gifts. Going to have some Dirty Santa.
Dirty Santa. My gift's good, too.
By the way, are we playing Street Rules Dirty Santa, or are we playing like the friendly version where you can only take it twice and everybody's happy?
I don't know. I like the Street Rules.
Street Rules can get pretty gamey, man. I had a lady in my Sunday school class didn't talk to me for 5 years.
That's funny.
I don't think that I was representing Jesus in the way that I played Dirty Santa that day or something. I don't know. She wanted that ornament, and nope, I'm sorry. Charlene, by the way, you know why we won? Because Charlene's just as competitive as I am.
I love it.
We had it all worked out, man. You take it, and then I'll take it from you. And then you take it, and then I'll take it from you. And then you take and we kept just going.
Taking back and forth.
This lady finally just realized stop. She was not going home with that ornament. Didn't talk to us for 5 years.
5 years. Man.
All right. We're coming right back. Number two in the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it In Other News. Big stories, things that deserve attention. They're just kind of one-off stories by themselves. We'll cover down Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm moving to number two in the Triple Dipper. We'll see if I can get to number three, Booms. I don't know. We'll see. But number two of the Triple Dipper, this is unique, all right? Usually the dippers are themselves a thematic, you know, they kind of run a theme or a storyline or even one story from different angles. Not this time. I began to find so many stories, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I make a dip out of that. No, I couldn't find anything else, so I'll just, what do I do with that one story? And then I found several of the one stories. So I thought, you know what, all these one stories are one-offs, but they're stories that you might want to hear about. So I decided to go ahead and do a whole segment I call In Other News. And I got to tell you, a couple of stories actually I found during the last commercial break, and I'm throwing them in because one of them relates to one I have in my hands. And another one, though, is just the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard. I told Boomer, I said, here's a headline you don't usually see.
Yes, I'm excited for you to mention this one because it is very, very just
this is like
weird.
This is like when we used to do Logan and the, or Boomer and the Birdman.
Right. And, this would have been one. Yeah.
This would have been one of the weirdest stories you could find. Tennessee Transportation Department workers discover a human heart in a salt pile.
Whoa.
What the heck? So here's the deal. You know, road salt, the kind they put on the roads during icy or storm or snowy weather. Tennessee Bureau of Investigation said that an initial examination determined the heart did belong to an adult male. An employee from the Tennessee Department of Transportation discovered a human heart in a salt pile at a state government facility. What the heck?
Wait, at a state facility?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically, it's a state DOT, you know, storehouse with the salt piles. They load them up into trucks, take them out, put them on the roads.
Could you imagine you driving down there? Look, there was a human heart, babe. Like, no, I promise it wasn't on the road.
Yeah. What's that?
Wow.
Anyway, they're trying to figure out why. They're doing DNA testing. They have determined it did belong to an adult male. I'm under the assumption here that, you know, salt preserves meats and that kind of thing. I'm under the assumption that the heart was somewhat preserved by being in a salt pile, but how did it get there in the first place?
That is the question.
That's a weird question.
That's a weird question.
All right, the next story I've got. So Donald Trump has been known to be Donald Trump. I mean, he does his thing, and he usually doesn't care what people think. This time I thought he should need to start caring what people think because I saw this story, and I thought, what's going on? So if you remember a few days ago, the former president announced that he had a big special announcement. Like, you know, going to be big doings. And it was coming on Thursday. And people were speculating all over the nation. I saw it on digital, social media. People saying things like, what's it going to be? He's going to name who his vice president would be. He's going to talk about a major policy decision. He's got, anyway, no. His special major announcement turned out to be that he had digital trading cards of himself in various character poses as things like a cowboy, an astronaut, a Superman, and they were like digital trading cards. And I'm like, what? I mean, like womp, womp, womp. This is like the biggest letdown. Do we have that sound effect? We did have that sound effect. All right, let me do that one more time. It's like I felt like, perfect. That's the way I felt. I mean, I'm looking at it thinking, first of all, Mr. President, who advised you? And like Ben Shapiro came out and joked about it. Thank God the digital trading cards are here. What a major announcement. While he was doing that, DeSantis was signing legislation cutting traffic tolls for commuters. I mean, like basically cutting taxes in a sense. People are out there saying, you know, whoever advised you of this needs to be fired. Well, then, okay, I had this story. That's from Fox News. I had this story in my possession as I came into the studio today. And yet, lo and behold, I just happened to see right before I came back on the air. So New York Post has a story right now that says that Donald Trump's trading cards sold out in the first day and doubled in value. Come on. So first of all, I don't understand how digital trading cards work, but apparently it's almost like Bitcoin, I understand. It's like they call them a non-fungible trading card. But there are all these images of him in these super, you know, high-speed poses as an astronaut, as a cowboy on the range, as a boxer, as a, you know, superhero figure wearing a cape and everything. And they literally, y'all, I kid you not, the article here says they sold out on the first day. Trump made over $4 million on these cards.
That's crazy.
Boomer,
I don't fully understand it.
Some people make money when they sleep.
Just like that. I mean, is there a particular card that is like the highest of value, I wonder? Like, is it him as an eagle or a or a fireball?
Probably riding an eagle. There's got to be one of him riding an eagle somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if there's like one, like the rarest one that's worth more than the others.
I don't know, but it says that all 44,000 of the limited edition non-fungible trading cards which depict the 76-year-old as a cartoon cowboy, a sheriff, a race car driver, and other fantastical outfits, have sold for more than $4 million by 1:30 p.m. on Friday. That's 24 hours.
Wow.
The floor price of the haul stood at around $214 up Thursday. Bottom line is they increased in value from every card has increased in value from roughly $99 per card. $99 per card. Each are now considered to be worth upwards of $214 per card. One rare version of the non-fungible tokens featured Trump holding a torch in front of the Statue of Liberty was listed with a floor value of almost $24,000 because it was so rare. It was the rarest. There you go.
There it is. Okay.
In total, it says 45,000 of the digital cards were produced, but only 44,000 offered for sale. And here's the thing. There were at least 115 customers who bought 45 of them. That means they spent themselves roughly $4,500, which is the minimum number required to then get an invitation to have dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
Whoa.
You talk about this feels like a snake oil plan, and the dude made money. Okay, man. There's that story. I hadn't planned on spending that much time on it, but it was so awkward I had to go ahead and just go for it. All right, other stories in the news. This is all stuff in the news, just, you know, in other news, all right? I'm totally switching gears here. Brace yourselves. I'm not on that anymore. I'm not doing weird stories. This one is from AL.com. William Thornton, I know William Thornton, good dude. William Thornton wrote this piece yesterday. Huntsville is expected to become one of America's biggest and most affordable real estate markets in 2023, in the top 10 in the nation. So, AL.com reports Huntsville has been named one of the top 10 markets to watch in the coming year. Basically, if you're a homeowner in Huntsville, you've got some valuable real estate in your hands. Probably I would include Madison in that, to be honest with you. Madison, out there towards Hampton Cove, Owens Crossroads. I would Gurley, Harvest. It says, in fact, according to the recent analysis, it is the most affordable among the top 10. A forecast for 2023 by the Association of Realtors anticipates that next year will be the turning point where more buyers return to the market as inflationary pressures cool. However, it says the housing market remains somewhat tight, and that's based on inventory. Several factors went into the top 10. Things like better affordability than the national average, more renters who can afford to buy, the percentage of information industry jobs, and the migration gains in workers who telecommute. Wow. All right. Here's the other interesting thing, Boomer-san. All 10 of the top 10 cities in the nation are located in the South.
Really?
Sweeping from Texas to the Carolinas, all 10 of the number one real estate markets in the nation are in the South.
Everybody wants to come to the South.
Everybody wants to be an SEC fan.
SEC.
All right, there's some news for you.
Man.
All right, speaking of things happening in Alabama, here's one right here in our neck of the woods. All right, so Boomer and I have, for a long, many years, seen the Goodyear plant in Gadsden. So the Goodyear plant in Gadsden, if you're not familiar, folks, at one point, the Goodyear plant building tires in Gadsden, I mean, I'm talking people throwing tires, you know, making, you know, the rubber composition and building out the tires that we ride in our cars, it was the largest tire manufacturing plant in the world for a period of time. It was part of the driving force of the economy in Northeast Alabama. And a couple years ago, after almost a hundred, maybe more than 100 years, the Goodyear plant closed down for good. And I'll be honest, unions pretty much killed it. They couldn't sustain that plant anymore with the union contracts. When I was in the legislature, I was part of the group that was fighting to keep the plant open. I even, just the other day, I found a letter from Governor Bentley in my desk promising to do all he could to help us maintain the Goodyear plant. Hmm. Well, the Goodyear plant finally closed down, but good news is on the horizon. ABC 3340 reports that the Goodyear plant, which has sat dormant now for the last 2 years, I mean, it's a huge facility.
Oh, it's really big.
3 million square feet. Massive. Man. And it's also, it's an iconic image in Gadsden because of the clock tower.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, looking at the clock tower or the tower at Tuscaloosa or Sanford Hall in Auburn. The symbol of the clock tower at Goodyear in Gadsden has been a symbol of that community for so many years. Mm. The city announced the nearly 3 million square foot factory was bought by Phoenix Investors, a national commercial real estate firm based out of Wisconsin. According to the firm's website, the core of its work is revitalizing former manufacturing facilities across the country. The new mayor, Craig Ford, says the current plan is to divide up the space so that upwards of 40 to 50 different businesses could be located there. He said that right now, it appears that we could have an anticipated up to 1,200 to 1,500 jobs. And I want to say, at their height, Goodyear had close to 3,000 jobs at that plant at one point. So they're looking at, you know, within the next 3 to 6 months, they've already had several non-disclosures signed with different companies. He said he can't tell you what their details are. It could be anything from mixing rubber, which I'm sure those facilities still exist in there, mixing rubber to making soap. He said we've heard all kinds of things. But right now, Phoenix out of Wisconsin has bought the plant. It sits on 156 acres, 3 million square feet, right smack in the middle of town. And I'd be excited to see that place active again. That was a huge part of my 8 years in the legislature. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come right back. I got several other things in other news category. Like, why is the Biden's DOJ suing the state of Arizona? And what's happening when Border Patrol agents got a chance to go face-to-face with their boss, Alejandro Mayorkas? And what about TikTok being banned? And where was Buttigieg during the rail union strike negotiations? Well, he wasn't at work, I know that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you real quick. We talked about that weird story a while ago. The thing about the Tennessee Department of Transportation workers that went to their salt bins, you know, where they store the big piles of salt to put on the roads in icy weather, and they found a human heart in the salt. And it's been declared, yes, this is indeed a human heart from an adult male. And Boomer, we just got a text in from Graham from Meridianville who says, how dare they assume the heart identifies as male?
I know when we were eating that during the break, we just both died.
You know, but then again, I almost feel bad for laughing because, I mean, this is probably a crime.
Right.
Why is a heart, anyway, but still, Grant, that's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I got a caller on the line. Let me grab line one real quick. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good there, buddy. Hey, when you coming out with those right side trading cards, man?
Oh, man. I'm all for it. In fact, I'll be happy just to make half of what Trump made, $2 million. I'm fine with $2 million, and we will invite them to dinner at the Right Side Studios. How about that?
I mean, you know, you got right side socks, so why not right side trading cards? You know, hey,
absolutely.
You and Boomer could be on there, and it's kind of like I envision kind of like a Captain America
Boomer, we need to get on this. Now, his dad is a graphic designer, and Boomer's pretty good himself. All right, Boomer, we got to start designing some right-side trading cards.
Right-side trading cards.
How do we find out how to make money on these things?
I want to know how to make them digital currency like
this. I know.
This.
Non-fungible trading assets is what they're called.
Hey, all you got to do is get Trump approved, man. You just need to email him and say, hey, can I get you approve these things for me?
Yeah. In fact, Mr. President, can we do one with you in the card with me? We'll just, it's like you in your superhero suit and me just standing there with my thumb up. Yay.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, but Jeff, I got to switch gears. Let me ask you this. You spend a lot of time on the road, brother. Have you ever driven down a salt covered road and looked down and said, well, by golly, there lies a human heart right there on the road. Have you ever seen that?
Well, not yet, but I mean, where was this at anyway?
It was a Tennessee DOT, and I've lost the story now, so I can't go back and find it right off the bat while we're talking. But it was the Tennessee DOT found it, so it's probably somewhere in your traveling zone.
Well, I'm in Tennessee right now, basically, and only thing I can figure is you know the DOT encompasses the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and. Maybe they just ripped the heart out of somebody and tossed it in the can.
this is awful, though. I mean, really, you got to think, okay, first of all, was it a medical heart, like somebody was transporting it somewhere for, you know, a transplant? Or did something, like, really, really awful happen? What the heck? And why was it in a pile of salt?
Why was it in a pile of salt?
I don't know.
That is the question.
And I want to know where the rest of the guy's at.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah,
in fact, I think they better start digging through that pile. Ain't no telling what they're going to find.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, he could have. Well, I can't see him just ripping a heart out. I mean, he would have been in a lot of pieces, I guess. But, you know, the thing about salt is and everything, it's being white and everything. It should be easy to see something red like that in there. So I guess it was pretty easy to spot.
You would think. And, you know, and that's the way they used to actually store meat back in. And, you know, the old days, they would actually pack it in salt. And it's probably
kinda
preserved.
Like, kind of like Afghanistan, isn't it?
Oh, it's just kind of.
You probably seen some of that, didn't you?
Kind of eerie weird. No, we saw other things. What used to strike me in Afghanistan was, it was called Tapi, T-A-P-I, Tapi. And Tapi was where they just took sheep dung and they flattened it out into patties and stuck it on the side walls of their house. And then when they needed firewood or something like that and they didn't have any, they would break a piece of tapi off and burn it. And that was their way of heating their houses and cooking their food on dung. It was weird. But
that's a new definition of poopery then, isn't it?
Yeah, brother. That was poopery and we used to call each other tapi heads once in a while too. But all right, man. Well, listen, we're up against the break, brother. You be safe on the road and watch out for human hearts and stuff like that while you're driving.
Anchors across the road as well. Yeah.
All right, we'll see you, Jeff.
Have a good one,
bro. All right, we're going to come right back, folks. We're going to head to a break here in a second. We're going to come right back. I'm still in this section we call In Other News, and I'm going to get back to some news, but I got some great texts coming through right now, too, so I'm going to have to get to some of those. You want to text in? 833-687-4448. Or you can call in on the same number. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And I don't know if we're going to get to Dipper number three, Boomer.
I don't think we are today. And it's okay. It's Friday. Fry-yay.
Fry-yay.
Great, great talking points, talking about all kinds of cool stuff.
All right. Well, we'll cover down on what we can. How
That's
about
right.
That?
That's right.
That's right. By golly, play the explosion for Friday. Friday! That's where we are right now, 4:30 p.m. Some of y'all are in go-home mode. It is about that time. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams and Boomer right here in the studio. We'll be right back. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay with us. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some ground across the northern part of our state. I'm talking about this show goes down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, thanks for being with us today. By the way, if you are at work right now, 4:35 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, I mean, it's about go-home time, y'all, and it's that time. And so some of y'all may be thinking, what am I, tomorrow morning's Saturday. It's Saturday. It's going to be a chilly Saturday morning, and here's an idea. Rather than messing up the kitchen, or rather than just having that bowl of cereal or some instant grits, how about this? Just Love Coffee Cafe for breakfast on Saturday morning. You hear me talk about them a lot. Now, they got amazing coffees. That's why they're named Just Love Coffee Cafe. They've got the treat coffee, Charlene calls them, like, you know, the cafe, the lattes, the espressos, the cappuccinos. They got award-winning dry roast coffee, grind the beans fresh, make you a cup of light roast, dark roast, medium roast. But they've also got amazing breakfast. I'm talking waffles. I'm talking the Womelet, which is a giant omelet with just about everything in it cooked in a waffle iron, hence the W, Womelet. They got biscuits, they got other things. I mean, the bottom line is this. The food there, oh my gosh, it's good. So think about this. Saturday morning, kind of cold, you get out there, you're not getting the usual standard fare, you're getting some unusual, unique, great fare in a good location, two of them in our area, one on Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. What a great Saturday morning that would be. All right. Hey, listen, before I go any further, I gotta jump over. So we're in this section right now of the Triple Dipper called In Other News, and I'm about to talk about some things that have happened around the nation. But before I wrap that up, I had some great texts. Nick from Harvest. So Nick from Harvest is new on the text line, but he and his wife are not new to the show. They had some great, very complimentary things to say about how they've been listening for a while. They love the show. And he went on to say some things. And then he said, if I'm reading this right, Nick, thanks for listening and thanks for your service. He says he's a graybeard now after 23 years, so I'm assuming that means he's a graybeard, former military, just got out, and thanks for your service there, brother. And he also said, by the way, his wife's headed up to Tennessee right now, maybe listening to the live stream. And then he threw a joke in because he couldn't help it. He had to throw a joke in there. He said, today's political climate's like dealing with my ex-wife. Every other word you hear has you questioning their sanity even more and more. Blessings on you, Nick and Harvest. Graham from Midyearville had that funny thing a minute ago about that heart they found in the salt, about how dare they assume the heart identifies as male. And then Paul from Athens texted in right after that and said, it's probably a cis white male heart. That cracks me up. John from Pike Road. So Pike Road down yonder towards Montgomery Way. But John from Pike Road, he worked in that plant for a long time. And I'm pretty sure this is my friend John. Yes, it is. I scroll back up to verify. This is my friend John who used to live up here. He worked at that Goodyear plant. And he says in here, it's kind of a long text. He said that basically he says, I'm glad the plant was bought, but it's going to take millions of dollars to fix it. And I agree, John. You know better than I do, man. You worked there for so many years. I mean, that plant, by the way, was there, Boomer, for 91 years.
Whoa.
Goodyear operated out of that facility for 91 years. Thousands of people were employed there at one time. But he says, John says in this, John from Pike Road says, in the old part, he says, where mixing was, it would rain so hard the roof would leak horribly. He said mixing rubber also takes steam, but the steam plant closed down, so it's going to be hard to do that. They have to get portable steam generators, he would think. He also said the rail system's in horrible shape, and the elevator system is older than him. It stayed more broke than it did worked. And anyway, we'll see what happens, John. I mean, and by the way, they have that new part of the plant. They built a new part just about the time I took office in 2010, thereabouts, that is far more advanced. And I would think the cleanup on this plant site would be significant also. But nonetheless, something's coming, and we're excited of it. I got one more here. What was this? Oh, John from Huntsville.
Oh, he had some funny things.
Oh, my gosh. What do you have there, bud?
So he was talking about those trading cards. Yeah. We should have those right side trading cards. The most valuable and rarest card is Boomer riding a camel while eating a donut and Phil doing push-ups on the hot desert sand with the Great Pyramid. I mean, it's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's good.
This is good. All right. And then he has another one with something about saying Roll Tide and hugging the Alabama mascot, and I'm saying no. I'm putting the kibosh on that one right now. All right, let me jump back into the news. Let's do that. Story off the Daily Wire. So this is, by the way, this section I'm calling In Other News is making you aware of some stories that are a little bit more one-off. You might find them in different places, but they were not like big themes that I could run an entire dipper on, and they collaborated, though, with other stories to become what I'm calling In Other News. Got a story here from the Daily Wire. Pray tell, why would the Department of Justice under the Biden administration be suing the state of Arizona? Can you guess? If you said the border, you'd be right. So Daily Wire reports, as of yesterday, the Biden administration's Arizona governor over the shipping container border wall. By the way, I think the shipping container border wall is brilliant. I remember seeing a stack of those at a shipyard somewhere and thinking, that's easy. Just take them. It's like Legos. It's like giant Legos. Just build a border wall with it. Next thing I know, I'm seeing the governor of Arizona and I believe Texas also filling in gaps in their border wall with shipping containers, stacking them too high. So far, they've got 6,680 feet of containers, which is what, mile and a half, mile and a quarter, through Cochise County. Well, the DOJ has now filed a lawsuit because, you know, they can't have anybody doing anything about the border. Because that'd be bad. U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona, the DOJ filed suit claiming that the border wall trespasses on federal property. Arizona has unlawfully and without authority failed to remove the shipping containers from lands owned by the United States or over which the United States holds easements, thereby damaging the United States. Have they thought for a second about how much damage is being done to the United States by the fact that there's not a border wall? And they stopped construction of the border wall. Well, of course they haven't. Anyway, the bottom line is there's about a 10-mile gap that the state of Arizona is intent upon filling. And the governor said, you know what? Forget you. Arizona's taking action to protest on behalf of its citizens with this lawsuit, because they sued back, by the way. With this lawsuit, we're pushing back against efforts by federal bureaucrats to reverse the progress we've made. So that's that. Just be aware. That's what happens when you have leadership, all right? Governor Ducey is saying, I'm not going to sit idly by and just let you say, oh, we're not allowed to do anything. We're just going to do it, and the court can tell us later to take it down if they want to. But right now, he said, I've got citizens to protect, and so there we are. All right, next story I've got. This one, speaking of the border wall, let me go through my stack here. Yeah. Story from the Daily Caller. You know, you hear about Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas doing nothing. in his role as Department of Homeland Security's secretary. Like, what has he done for the border? And the answer would really be nothing. Border Patrol agents confronted Mayorkas in El Paso, and here's what was said. The Daily Caller was able to get someone who was in the meeting to give them insight as to what happened when Mayorkas came down there to meet with Customs and Border. Now, I will say this. Props to Mayorkas for walking in the room, all right? That's an unpopular dude, and he knows it. And he's walking into a situation where he is literally standing on a powder keg with his own employees. Border Patrol agents confronted Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas during a recent visit to El Paso, Texas, according to an agent who was in the room during the meeting who spoke with the Daily Caller. The agent who requested anonymity because he's not authorized to speak said a colleague confronted Mayorkas and accused him of making empty promises. So here's how it went down. Apparently during the meeting, it says, and this, by the way, I understand not bucking authority. I get it. There's a time and a place. But the tension on that border and the level of frustration by those who have been just not being given what they need to do their jobs. So during the meeting, at least one agent asked Mayorkas why he hasn't fulfilled their request for additional border security equipment and instead has chosen to publicly slander them while they do their jobs. The agent said, "You came here 6 months ago. You offered us cameras, and they were going to run about $2 million. You said you were going to get it for us, and then you departed, and we found out the money's not even going to be allocated for two more years." And then he says, "You went to Del Rio, and you expressed yourself and talked bad about the Border Patrol," which was when he claimed systemic racism because the guys on the horseback were alleged to have whipped people, and they didn't. A senior Border Patrol official in the room tried to intervene, but the agent interjected, saying, no, let him respond to us. He's here. He wants to be here. Now he has to answer the questions that we got for him, no matter how tough they are. We're going to be respectful. We're not going to yell. We're going to treat you with respect, but we're going to expect some answers. You're not going to get away with pandering to us. That's a tense meeting. But, folks, if it gets to that point, you know, it should be, here's what should be happening. When the secretary of the department flies in from D.C. to meet with the troops on the front lines, you would think they would be glad to see the guy coming out to make a house call, so to speak, coming out to inspect the lines, coming out to see the troops. They don't like him at all. They have no respect for him whatsoever, to the extent that this is not the first time they have called him out in the meetings. Well, that's a clear indication of where the Biden administration is on the border. And if we don't start seeing some control of the southern border very soon, I fear for what's going to happen. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today. We have already seen an actual percentage point of our population grown in the last 2 years under the Biden administration. Literally, just through illegal immigration, they have added another percentage point to the population of the United States. Think about it. If your border's so out of control that illegals now make up a percentage of your nation, what does that say about your border? It says you don't have one. There's that. Last story for the break. If you heard my monologue earlier, and I hope you did. If you didn't, you're always welcome to go back to our podcast. By the way, our podcast goes up every day after the show. Boomer takes the show. He posts it up, and then he also breaks it down into segments. So if you want to hear just a part of it, like just a monologue or just an interview, you can download those. We're at almost 102,000 downloads now of the podcast. And so if you want to hear a part again, you're welcome to it. It's on Apple. It's on Podbean. It's on it's basically out there. It's everywhere. Just go to your favorite podcasting source, type in Right Side Radio, and you'll find us. And give us a rating if you would, too. We'd appreciate that. But, man, we've seen a spike. Am I looking at a spike in your bar graph over there? Holy smokes, it went up.
Yeah, it was a big spike. Wednesday was a big spike.
Wow. All right, folks, listen, the podcast, that's when they were trying to get you some extra podcasts before you had to do push-ups. Last story I've got, freebeacon.com. You heard me say in my monologue about Pete Buttigieg being gone. Well, it's turning out right now that Pete Buttigieg is not only gone when he's supposed to be at work negotiating on major transportation issues because, oh, that's right, he's the Secretary of Transportation. But we're also seeing that he is probably flying on private jets while he's doing it, despite the fact that he's extolling the virtues of green energy and reducing carbon footprints. Yeah. Buttigieg quickly jetted off to Portugal on August 29th, a week before the Amtrak began canceling all of its long-distance trips. Secretary of Transportation, Amtrak Transport. The Labor Day weekend travel was a long-planned personal trip, says the Department of Transportation. However, it was also kept quiet. It was not publicized. He even had a couple of social media posts that made it look like he was in the United States. Nope. Two-week trip to Portugal with his partner so they could have some personal time at the vineyards, sipping on libations. News of Buttigieg taking a vacation at a time of high-stakes negotiations in the transportation industry come as he faces anger from rail workers over the results of their contract negotiations. One person pointed out, I think this is actually Senator Josh Hawley, Pete Buttigieg will take a paid vacation in Europe for days on end, but doesn't think that rail workers get more than one more day of sick leave. The same guy who took months of paid leave at the height of the supply chain crisis for his paternity leave. So, yeah, keep that in mind. He and his partner adopted a child. And so right in the middle of the supply chain crisis last year, he took two months of paternity leave. How Buttigieg traveled to Portugal is a mystery. Since assuming his transportation post, Buttigieg has been known to take 18 different flights on private jets despite his calls for green transportation. All right, Boomer, I ran long to finish up that piece of the triple dipper. It was turned into a double dipper for the day, actually. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back and wrap it up on Friday. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. And by the way, folks, I got to tell you, the folks at ZLA Solutions, kicking. I was talking to some of them this morning. They are doing an amazing job at getting people and jobs connected. So if you're looking for a job right now, and we know that there are people out there looking to get back into the labor force, which for whatever reason have not truly come back to the labor force since COVID. If you're looking for a job, go to their website. That's ZLAUSA.com for ZLA Solutions. ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Great jobs, good employers. Check them out there. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, man, they can do that for you. I mean, they help you with a lot of business solutions. They can help you with your shipping and logistics. They can help you with your warehousing, sorting and containment, quality control. But their bread and butter, man, is staffing. So if you are looking to staff out your business, could be onesies and twosies, kind of niche skills, or it could be a whole shift of folks. Doesn't matter, blue collar, white collar, no collar. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. And they will outfit you with the staff you're looking for. You check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Okay, hey, listen, in the final moments here, I got to go back to the text line because that's been fun. So we had several weird stories today that were a part of the second dipper. We had the weird thing about the heart being found in the salt pile by the Tennessee Department of Transportation. Still want to know what's up with that because it apparently is a human heart. So we gotta put some kind of a Google search on that one like Monday and get an update on this thing because that's just all right. You got that? All right, good deal, tech man. All right. And then, by the way, I had Allison from Madison, JT from Lacey Springs, and Paul from Athens all text in regarding Governor Ducey in Arizona building a wall out of shipping containers, and they remembered yesterday's show when I talked about there being a shortage of shipping containers, and every one of them said, aha. In fact, Allison actually said, aha, we found the answer to the question of why we have a shipping container shortage, and a dang good answer. Ingenious, she said. Allison from Madison, same kind of answer from JT and another one from Paul. And so, yeah, how about that? Then Jeff from Indiana texted in. with regards to the trading cards that Trump had, he says the best trading card will be the one with, he calls it Colonel Phil and Boomer apprehending the Biden crime family. He says, I'd pay for that one. He actually ends his text by saying, hee, hee, hee. That's like an evil little giggle there at the end of his text. All right. Well, listen, it's been a great show, you guys. And we got the Right Side Christmas gathering this evening. I'm looking forward to that. Going to do some eating, going to do some visiting, and then back here again on Monday at 2 o'clock. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Hope you have the opportunity to spend time with family, maybe get a little rest, and then hit the week hard for what for many of you is going to wind up being a short week because Christmas is right around the corner.
Which a lot of that means a lot of you will maybe be traveling, so stay safe.
Or shopping.
Or shopping.
I used to pride myself on getting all my shopping done on Christmas Eve. It was like a thing.
Christmas Eve.
Well, I take it back, the day before Christmas Eve.
Wow.
All right. So
wow.
Yeah. Wow. But I used to it's like, okay, I'm gonna make my list and I'm gonna find all the sales and but you know, times have changed. It don't work like that no more. No. Not when you got kids and in-laws and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandbabies and
too much.
Ain't gonna work that way. All right, folks. Phil Williams and Boomer. You guys have an amazing weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2. Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.